Greg out of town. Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Artie Watt. I can't do the whole intro because I made the show too long. Join me now, won't you? Okay.
It was a good idea coming here to the antique appraisal circus. Some of this stuff could be worth something.
I'm sure my stuff is. My grandparents were very discerning. They were one of the first families in their neighborhood to get one of those sofas that turns into a bed.
I hope there's some big surprises. I'm hoping this painting is an original Cougat.
That clown? I think I painted that in religious school. It's supposed to be Moses.
It's a clown playing a guitar.
I know, man.
I brought my great-grandfather's, thing.
What is that? It looks like a lump of tar with feathers and shells.
I think it's ceremonial. It's very old.
It looks like a chunk of driveway.
We'll let the experts decide. What else did you bring, Hardy?
Well, this old key.
Those aren't worth anything.
Well, it's worth something to me. I inherited it. It's very old.
It doesn't matter. It's common and worthless. I brought this cool knife and this ceramic figurine. I think it's a Hummel.
I don't think Sister Hummel made sculptures of demons.
It's a one-off. She was having a bad day.
Next. You go first, Luke. Well, hello, what do we have here?
It's a thing that was my grandfather's. I think it's for religious ceremonies. I know he valued it very much.
Well, it certainly is an interesting piece of Caribbean folk art.
Thank you.
Hard to say what it is exactly. These are fairly specific to the Hungan or Mambo who owns it.
Oh, that's them.
Not sure what it's made of.
Grandfather said it was made from the souls of wicked children.
Well, probably it's a sort of mud or tar, maybe with black paint and shells and feathers.
So, how much is it worth? Not that I'm thinking of selling it.
I have to be honest. While it has some worth from an anthropological standpoint, it's not particularly valuable. $20, maybe?
Wow! That's great! I would never sell it, though, because it keeps the world from collapsing and my ancestors from eternal torment. Thanks, though.
All right, well, who's next?
I am.
And what do you have for me?
A couple things. First of all, this. It was my granddad's. It's for stabbing guys.
Ah. This is not worth too much, I'm afraid. It's just an ordinary switchblade, and I think they're illegal in our state.
Whatever. All the good stuff is. How about this?
Oh, my word. Where did you get this?
Well, it's been in my family for years. It sat on my grandmother's mantle. She said if we weren't good, the statue would take vengeance on us and cause sorrow and suffering to all those who defied it. I think it's a Hummel. Maybe it's a Yadro. I don't know.
Well, it's not a Hummel. This is very, very old. I think it's Byzantine. But this is one of a kind, and if it's what I think it is, it's invaluable.
Dang it.
What?
Invaluable. I thought it was worth something.
It is.
Doesn't invaluable mean the opposite of valuable?
No, they're the same thing.
Oh, like flammable and inflammable.
This, I believe, is the demon of Justinian. I truly believe it is.
The who now?
This is a sculpture that belonged to the emperor, and which he credited as being the source of his power. It is said it is capable of great power and evil, that this sculpture can destroy nations and conquer peoples, that he who owns this has dominion over others.
What do you give me for it?
No, you don't understand. This is a museum piece.
It's not, it's mine.
No, I mean it belongs in a museum.
The heck it does, it belongs back in my room, holding my door open so I can air it out when the laundry starts to get ripe.
Sir, this piece is worth millions.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, I think I'll hang on to it. Who knows what it'll be worth in a few years. Also, I might need to conquer people or whatever.
Well, please take good care of it.
Whatever.
And you, sir? Hi. Well, I have this very special key. Well, let me see. Oh, this is interesting. This is very old. It says, the key to kindness. Yes, it's the key to kindness. It was my grandfather's, but I think he inherited it, too. It's been in my family a long time. Grandfather said that the only thing worth inheriting is the key to kindness. Well, he sounds like a very wise man. Oh, he was. But I'm afraid the key is worthless. Why's that? Well, everyone knows this. This isn't some great secret, and everyone has keys, and being good to one another, being kind. This knowledge is so common, it has no commercial value. Oh, I see. I'm not being mean or anything. I'm just setting you up for a good segue into the rest of the show. Oh, thank you. Of course.
Tell me a story, Uncle Hardy.
All right, I will, if you promise to go to sleep.
I can't promise to go to sleep because I have somnia.
I think you mean insomnia.
I think somnia and insomnia are the same thing, like flammable and inflammable.
Have you been talking to Uncle Butchie?
You can't prove that.
Oh, yeah, I know you have.
Well, read me something.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to read you. And why do you like stories to go to bed anyway? I think that would keep you up.
No, yours are so boring. It puts me to sleep. It lulls me into... I'm so bored. I just...
Oh, I see. All right. Well, I don't know what to read you, though. We got a lot of books here. And I'm not sure which one to read.
Read me something that you read as a child.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm trying to think. Now, my mom used to read me these nursery rhymes from this book, but it was British. A friend gave it to us, and they were all brutal. All the children were cooked into pies and things at the end. I guess that went on a lot in Britain. I don't know.
Well, just read me anything, please. It doesn't matter. You're taking too long.
Oh, all right, all right.
Don't agonize over it. Just pick a book and start reading. Anything you say is gonna put me to sleep.
All right, well, I don't know how to take that. I guess, you know, whatever your powers are, you should embrace them. Well, I guess I could read you something that I remember as a child.
Yes, read me The Inheritance.
That sounds like a book, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything sounds like a book.
Or all titles have been taken, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
All right.
How about you got to add something nasty to, like, the big, lumpy, tarry, sticky inheritance or something?
All right, I'll do that. Then it'll be original. I don't know what to read you. I like to just tell you stories. Maybe I can tell you stories off the top of my head.
There's nothing on your head.
I know there's not.
Not hair.
I know there's not.
Nothing in it.
All right, you know, the insults don't make me want to read your story necessarily. But I will. Oh, my friends, does it help keep you company if I just tell you a story? Yes, and it's got to be just nonsense, because who wants to be told anything? I don't want to do that, but I want to give you something. Oh, inheritance. What are they? I haven't really inherited much money, per se. I did get some old coins when my grandfather died, and I want to talk about things that I inherited from my ancestors, but I didn't really inherit much from my ancestors, because I think my grandparents got rid of most of it, so it's really just from my grandfather. And I remember his death because I saw him dead and everything, so I know he was dead. I can't prove it. If it was a Sherlock Holmes episode, I mean, I saw him, I thought he was dead, but he could have just had a lot of powder on him or something like that. But my grandmother was screaming. I don't know if they could have gotten that coordinated, but you know, that Moriarty, he's got powers over people. Anyway, so I didn't. That's the only person I've inherited things from, so I'll just tell you the story of things that I inherited from my grandfather. Once upon a time, it wasn't really once upon a time, it was the 70s. Let's just be honest. That wasn't once upon a time, even though the 70s seems to me like a magical place that never was. And if you look back at pictures, you go, wow, that is, I don't know that anybody ever had their ties that wide. You know, there was a period in history where the tie was expanding and contracting. And you could see this if you did some kind of stop motion and take a picture of some sort of gentleman from every era, I like to say, up to then. You'd see the ties go from kind of wide, then they got really thin. And then in the 70s, they got so wide they looked like lobster bibs. And then they started going back again. Then in the 80s, they got really narrow again, or as my grandmother would say, narrow. And then now I think they've stopped. I think they've reached some kind of, in the 90s or so, they went like, let's cut off this foolishness. Let's make something else contract and expand. Collars were doing that too. So collars come in all different sizes now. Now just let's just slow it down, the evolution there of it. But things change over time like that, don't they? Anyway, I was going to talk about my grandfather and inheriting things. Here it is, that my inheriting things from my grandfather. So he died in the 70s, like I said, magical time, blah, blah, blah. Also the music. Well, that has come back, not to haunt us so much, and not like cocaine-fueled discos. Have they come back, really? I don't know. It's not something I ever went to. I was a child, so I didn't do a lot of that. But where did I go? Have I ever been to an actual disco? I'm thinking, I don't know, because I think they changed the name on you. So now it's a club. It used to be called a disco. No. First it was discotheque. Then it was disco. Then it was discount something. No, that's different. You sure? Discount club? Is that different? I think so. Where you buy bulk, like a 24-pack of toilet paper? When are you going to use all that? Probably in a week, depending. So, he died in the, I think, in the mid-70s. Now, what did he leave me? Well, he left me some tangible things, not very many, and I'm going to enumerate them as if, oh, I should do it like I'm reading a will, you know, like we're the Three Stooges, and we go into a house, and they say, all right, everybody gather around. What is it? Well, your uncle has died. All right, so now I'd read the will, but he died intestate. What does that mean? His privates or something? No, he didn't have a will. So it's going to go into probate, and I'll call you back in a couple months. No, that's not how they do it. They read the will, and they say, if you want to inherit something, you're going to need to spend some time in a haunted mansion. Now, what is that? That's a metaphor for something, isn't it? Yes, if you want to inherit something, you're going to have to spend time in a sort of haunted mansion. Now, what does that mean? It means that, let's say you want to inherit something, and let's say there's a haunted mansion. You're going to have to go in it and maybe spend the night. Now, what if the, I don't know, it doesn't mean anything. But the things I inherited weren't in a will or anything. I think my grandfather's will was probably, you know, everything goes to my wife, which is fine, you know. She was still alive. But I got all the things that they normally would have thrown away. I lived with my grandparents. I should point that out. And so maybe I'm not sure if I stole these things, but I guess I just went in and said, you know, Grandma, don't throw that out. I'll take it. So here's the things I got from my grandfather, as well as intangible things, and I'll get to them too. What kind of intangible things? Well, he instilled in me a love of something, a few things that he loved. One was, I guess, Harold Lloyd, and the other is Rockford Files. Other than that, not too much. Don't trust the church. All right, well, whatever. So, but I like a fiery sermon. He would say that. He'd say, I like those preachers that teach, you know, preach hellfire. Okay, but don't believe it. What? I don't understand. So I think he just liked it for entertainment purposes. He loved passion. So that's good. And loved a good, and he liked acting. But he wasn't an actor. But maybe he was acting his whole life. I don't know. Maybe I inherited that too. Sometimes inherit personality from your ancestors, from your family. You get so much from them that you don't realize. But the things I got from him, a couple things were this. Sports jackets that were pastels. Now, you see, he was retired by the time that I came along. And he had decided, you know what, I'm going to now just go to the track. Maybe get my real estate license or something so I can hang out with my buddies and maybe just pretend to sell real estate. So that's what he did. And he would, he'd get these jackets that were like pink or yellow or something. So I'm going to the racetrack. All right. Got to get the turf club. You're required to have a jacket. So he wouldn't wear a tie with it or anything. Sometimes he would, I think. And they, of course, they were very wide. That's right. You're paying attention. Oh, it's the 70s. How much is 70 millimeter? Maybe that's how big they were. I don't know. So I got those. And then he had his shoes fit me, even though I was about 12 or 13 when he died. And so I inherited some white loafers. Isn't that interesting? That's very telling. That's what... Anyway, so I'm wearing these to school. And the kids are like, I guess they're making fun of me. Because, you know, nice shoes. Thanks. I didn't know. It took me a while to catch on to sarcasm. I like to think the best of people, right? So maybe it's fun to just take insults, sarcastic insults, as genuine. I wonder what, you know, if someone's going to make fun of you, I guess that's their problem, right? That's what a jerky thing to do anyway. So I thought people liked my cool shoes. I thought they were neat. I didn't understand fashion. I didn't understand that nice shoes out of context would be stupid shoes and that you had to wear what everybody else was wearing. I didn't even know who picks it. Like when you have pressure like that, a group pressure to wear a certain thing in school or anything, who's the one who even chooses it? Corporations. I guess the people selling it, yeah. They make you think that you got to be cool to have it. And then all the kids are like, if you don't have these sneakers, you're not cool. Very interesting. So it's more important to impress others than to make yourself happy. What a wonderful lesson to give children.
Are you giving me that lesson?
No, I'm merely reading.
Doesn't sound like you're reading. Sounds like you're making it up.
That is the key to beautiful writing, to accurate writing. Haven't you ever seen a movie? You go, oh, that dialogue sounds so realistic because they're going, and they're mumbling a lot.
You know, like a David Mamet movie?
I don't know. That seems a little forced, but yeah, I mean, I like natural dialogue.
In improvised movies, sometimes it's like that.
Agreed.
It's interesting to know if you can't tell whether something's scripted or not.
I know. I like that, too, he said. So, back to the shoes. So I got these shoes. I got some wide belts, the kind of belts that had maybe three. Remember when they go, one little hole is not enough. What is that, tine or something that goes in there? Let's have three tines that go into three holes. That's a lot. That's a holy belt. And got one of those, and let's see what else, clothing-wise. I think that might be it. I didn't get any of his jewelry. That went to his son. My uncle eventually got a lot of things. People would go, that's his son, he should have it. So things were taken from me and given to my uncle. Do I resent that? I say no. And now my uncle's dead, so I guess my cousins have it, who did not know my grandfather.
And there will come a Pharaoh who does not know Joseph.
That happened. I got the clothes. We went through his desk when he died. My grandfather kept a very orderly desk. He didn't do anything, really, by the time I came along. Like I said, he pretended to sell real estate, but he would always keep his pencils sharpened and make little notes. You know, he'd make a note, say, sharpen pencil, and then that would wear the pencil down, and so he'd sharpen it. Then he'd write another note, you know, remember to sharpen pencils. Gives you something to do. Isn't life like that? Really?
I hope not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm giving you the wrong impression. I hate to do that. I don't want you to think it's tedious or pointless. I want you to know it's tedious and pointless and then rise above that. Do something. Find a way of making it, decorating it.
Like I do my door with stickers?
Yes, that's what we did when I was a child. Put stickers all over it.
I'm going to get more wacky packages, I'd say, and I'd put them all over my door.
No, I wasn't allowed to do that, but my friends were, and I resented the fact that I was not. My grandparents were like, no, not in this house. All right. But I'm a child.
Yeah, not in this house.
All right, you can be a child later when we're dead, which is what I did. Well, we went through his desk, and found some interesting things. One was wrapped up in this cloth were these odd instruments. And I thought, maybe my grandfather was secretly a surgeon. And my grandmother said, no, I believe that they're caponizing tools. I said, caponizing tools? What's that for? She goes, they're for making a rooster, a capon. And I was like, well, can you be more specific? And she said, no. So years later, I found out what that was and why you'd want to do that. I guess there was some chicken farming involved in my grandfather's past that I didn't know about until then. I did a little bit because he also had a book that was his father's, and I guess it was from the farm, and it had a bunch of pictures of chicken, and then it had like things listed about what to feed the chicken. You know, too much of this causes white diarrhea. I wish I remember what that was, because that's a good thing to know. You know, what is it that causes white diarrhea? I think I suffer from that mentally a bit, not literally. So it had the things like that, you know, what to do with the chickens, you know, and they were Jersey Black Giants, which are turkey-sized chickens. They're monstrous, wonderful variety of chickens. I got into a chicken breed discussion with somebody at a Comic-Con. Isn't that interesting?
No.
Uncle Hardy's talking. And it also had, he's also a dog fancier. So he had lots of, every time there was an article in the paper about a dog, like some sort of Boston Terrier that had become paralyzed in its lower hindquarters and someone had built it some sort of cart and it rolled along like that, he'd clip it out of the paper. It's a heroic dog. Or a dog that whose master died and then the dog would go to the grave and sleep there every night until it perished as well. Things like that fascinated him. He loved dogs. And this was my great-grandfather who I never knew passed that love of dogs on to me somehow through my grandfather, who, we always had a dog, but he didn't love them as much as I do. I don't know. Sometimes they say when animals are getting into your brain or something, that they put some kind of chemical in you that makes you their slave. I think cats do that with their cat box or something. You think it smells bad, but it's really, I heard that that's why there's cat people and everything who have too many cats, is that there's a chemical in there that makes you their zombie slave. I kind of believe that. I know there's no scientific evidence, but that's the way belief is. There doesn't need to be. So I got those books as well, and these caponizing tools, which we got rid of because I don't really cut the things off of roosters like that. I don't want to do that. Really, I don't know. It hasn't come up yet, but it might. That'd be interesting. Here, take it. You know, Artie White, take this rooster and make it into a capon. No, thank you. I can't, actually, because I stupidly got rid of the caponizing tools. Some of the things I got from him were things that I had given to him, and then you get them back. Did it ever happen to you when somebody passes away? You go, oh, all right, well, now I got this, it's bounced right back to me. And it was a little box I had made in Cub Scouts, that's the last time I did any kind of crafting that was worth anything. I really have to be forced to sit down. So you must sit down now and decoupage. Someone has to say that to me, or otherwise I won't do it, right? You know, once you do it, it's like watching an old black and white film or something. You go, yes, I am richer for the experience of cutting up my precious family photos, gluing them to a box, and then putting some kind of clear plastic over it. It's worth it. So I had decoupaged. We didn't call it Mod Podge back then. I think that's a brand name. I'm not plugging any brand of decoupage. I think you can make your own out of glue and snot. But so you'd make that, and then it's got, oh, it's beautiful. It looks almost like lacquer or something. You can see the brush strokes, which is neat. All the good paintings you can. And, you know, I said, you can keep your jewelry in that. My grandfather went, all right. And he stuck it in a drawer. And I'll use that when my beautiful leather one wears out. All right. Okay. I get the hint. So I got that back. Right. And, was that it? Let's see. Clothing. Old stuff I'd given him. Yeah, I think that might be it. Various things here and there. His tools. I think I got his toolbox. I remember my uncle saying, actually, that's my toolbox. Oh, really? Again? Is nothing mine? Do I not get anything? That happened to my when my grandmother died. She said, I'm gonna leave you my car because you like it so much. I go, oh, thank you, Grandma. So this is what happened. So she sold that car, got another car. And then when she died, they gave that car to my uncle because she says, well, they all said, well, that's not the car she gave you. She gave you that one she sold. Thank you again. Isn't that funny? So, but things matter. I got to spend time with my grandparents. And so I learned a lot of things from them. From my grandmother, I learned how to make a Manhattan. Then it turns out she didn't make it right. So I had to unlearn that. That happens too. You know, you get an inheritance from somebody, say, this is how we do things. Then you learn, oh my gosh, you know, I thought that's how we did things, but now life has shown me something a little different. And though I still love and respect my ancestors, I realize now that some of the things I've gotten from them perhaps are wrong. It took me a long time to come to terms with that. that not everything that I had learned at home was exactly right, that I could still love them without thinking that they had done, you know, nothing wrong, that they were living their lives absolutely perfectly. From my grandmother, I got her recipe book. Now, there's nothing that's a better metaphor for inheritance or the way you get things in recipes, because recipes, you're not getting the literal dish, are you? You're not getting a roast beef. You're getting steps. You're getting instructions about how to do it. And that's the same way when you inherit anything intangible from people. Say, I'm not giving you the casserole. I'm not giving you a plate of yakimane. I'm giving you instructions on how to make it. And then you can use whatever ingredients you have. It wasn't proper yakimane. It was some kind of... My grandmother got most of the recipes out of magazines, I realized. I was thinking, I thought we all got it from our parents and people been cooking forever. You know, what happened? What were my great-grandparents eating? I don't even know. Some of those recipes endured, I guess, but I can't tell which ones were from my great-grandmother. I had my great-grandmother's cooking, and she just boiled pieces of meat, I guess, like my grandmother did sometimes. But I'd really love to know what a couple generations back ate. I don't really have their recipes, and maybe they didn't have them. Why would I write it down? Take a piece of meat, boil it up, things like that. Take a potato, cook of it, eat of it. And that's good. Step three. The black potatoes cause white diarrhea. Isn't that interesting? Is it ironic? So, I got these recipes. Now, some of them, my grandmother would write things in it like, you know, no good. But she'd keep it. Isn't that funny? She'd keep the recipe and just write on it, no good. Or my grandfather's name's Lou. Lou didn't like this. Which I always thought was funny. I said, why is it no good? You liked it, but he didn't. Maybe. That's why you're keeping it. Maybe you mean he thought it was no good. Maybe you liked it. Then there would be old family recipes and where they came. Mrs. Brown's cookies. I think Mrs. Brown's cookies were also brown edge cookies. Did you ever have them growing up? What are they? They're like a butter cookie and the edge of it's all brown, so they're appropriately named. And the recipe for those was in there. And I got that. And I've always liked it, the book. I still have it. And I put it in a protective bag like it's a collector's comic. But I want to keep it for a long time. I don't know why exactly. I don't know that I enjoyed my grandmother's cooking so much. I thought it was the greatest in the world. And I know that she was very competitive with her sisters. You know, I know they think Marita's a better cook, but her beef is dry. I heard that all my life. But they did concede that my Aunt Marita's Miracle Whip chocolate cake was the best. So why would you put mayonnaise in chocolate cake? It sounds terrible, but I guess there's all sorts of things you can put in chocolate cake and not ruin it. So it makes it moist. Is moisture important? Yes, unless it's a brown edge cookie. Interesting. So it depends on the baked good, whether you want it moist or not. Like you wouldn't want a moist palmier. Ooh, I know that. I don't know. That doesn't sound right. But those, you know, like elephant ear pastries, you know, those aren't really moist. They're flaky and crisp. Like yours truly. I don't think I've ever said the phrase yours truly before. Isn't that interesting?
Stop saying, isn't that interesting?
It is, but it is interesting to me. That's why I'm asking you. Do you find these things fascinating? I guess the reason I ask is that I find very mundane things extremely fascinating. And I just wonder whether other people do too, or whether it takes something more. You know, whether you got a, I find black holes fascinating, but I don't find the fact that your grandmother wrote not good on a recipe very interesting at all. Okay, I understand that. But wouldn't your life be a little more interesting if you thought more things were interesting? If you had interest in those small things, I guess it's easy to let the big things take over and ignore the small things. But those small things that I inherited, oh gosh, they meant a lot to me. And you know, they've become over. I guess I haven't always figured out things that I was given until years later. My mother used to take me on little vacations after my grandfather died, I guess to console me. So we went on more vacations and we Every summer, she'd take me on little road trips, and one time we went to North Carolina. And in North Carolina, they used to have these places where you could go gem hunting and say, oh, there's like ruby mines and emerald mines. And I said, well, I want to do that because I want to be a billionaire. I want to find something. So we were going to this emerald mine, and I thought I'd find, so we're going, you can find real emeralds. And I thought it'd be like, you know, a big, like a diamond or something, you know, I'd find this emerald, this green gem that looked like it just popped off a ring or a crown, just laying there in the stream, you know, I'd pan for it just like you pan for gold, and there it would be. I said, that's beautiful, I'm going to make a ring or a pendant out of it. But that wasn't exactly what it was. But we went to this place, and you sort through these rocks or something in the stream, I have a vague memory of it, and I found this rock. And the rock was kind of ordinary, nasty-looking gray and white rock, kind of ragged. But in it was a seam, like a little line. And that line was green, and it was emerald. Now, it was just kind of a very thin line, and there's no way you could get it out and make a proper emerald out of it. But it was emerald, and it was sealed. It was contained in this ordinary-looking rock. And so to have that emerald, you also have to have the nasty-looking old rock. And I kept that, but I've since lost it. But I've kept it for years and years, and more importantly, I've kept the memory. Because I didn't understand what I had until years later. I must have thrown it away or something or lost it. But this is what I had. I had a key to understanding life and joy and precious things. And I found out that what that means is that precious things are sometimes, usually, embedded in things that are ordinary or worse, awful. So you never get your joy undistilled. You never get your joy without something sticking to it in its pure form. It's always embedded in something else, sometimes misery, maybe boredom, but oftentimes misery. One of the most extreme examples of that, and it's strange because it's not exactly like a gem embedded in rock. That's a good one. But I had this great aunt, my Aunt Betty. Now, Aunt Betty was a very sweet lady, and you know she was an older lady when I knew her and everything, but she was also a chronic hardcore alcoholic, and you slur like slurring her words. Oh, so good to see you, Hardy. Like that, you know. But she was sweet, but she had this problem. And I'd love her. She had too many dogs, so I guess they had taken over her mind. She had, you know, like five poodles or something. So we went to her house. I always had something to do, which was play with the poodles. But I remember one time it was Halloween, and we went to her house, and as I was leaving, she goes, I want you to have this bag of candy. And she gave me like a Ziploc bag of all sorts of candy, like mini candy bar. Thank you, Aunt Betty. And we're going home, and my mom looks at it, and she goes, oh, we got to throw this out. And I said, what? She goes, look at it. And it was infested with ants. Now, my aunt, this is a different aunt. I don't know. It's a homophone. My aunt, everything's infested with aunts, isn't it? My aunt couldn't see it, you know, because she is a drunk. But she wasn't giving me aunt-infested candy. That isn't what she wanted me to have. That wasn't the gift that she intended. She just, there were ants crawling on her things. She couldn't see them anymore because she was blind to that. You understand? She had a blind spot. We all do that. We have weaknesses. My aunt had a weakness there. She had a weakness for alcohol. And though she was a loving, kind, beautiful person, she had this problem that eventually killed her. But I was always touched with that. And we got rid of the candy. It wasn't the candy that was important to me. I didn't care. And look how long I've held on to that. That she gave me, wanted me to have that. It was a sweet gesture. I understood that. And it didn't matter that it was ruined with something. You understand? I was able to pluck the joy out of that. That candy would have lasted me a few instances. If it hadn't had ants in it, I wouldn't have remembered it. at all. I would have just eaten the little mini Snicker bar, and that would have been it. And then I would have had the white diarrhea. But, you know, that memory now is there. And the joy is there. Now, it's got some sadness on it. All right? But it's like those coins that they dredge up from old shipwrecks. Look, we found all these gold doubloons. That's beautiful. And they're embedded in rock. They're always embedded in something, or they're fused together, or something like that. People always feel the need to pry them apart. Well, I got this cleaned up and everything. Why? What's the point? What's the point? You're going to spend them again? I don't understand. It's all right that the joy is embedded, and it's always going to be embedded in the sadness like that. You say, I just found out I won the lottery, and I'm dying. You know, that's always how life is. It's always got this stuff all mixed up in it. Every time there's a tragedy, you say, oh, there's a hero. You say, oh, we see the best of people, worst of people at the exact same time. That's no strange coincidence. You know, that's a product of this thing that we're in. It doesn't just separate the fact that we are always looking for unadulterated everything is a problem. This has been ruined. Can it be ruined? You know, I won't go into Croesus again, King Croesus and everything, and a ruined life, and whether an experience can be ruined by something that happens in it, you know. But I've talked about it before. Yeah, I was listening to this CD, and it was beautiful, and then at the end, it was all scratched, and that ruined the experience. Did it? How can it ruin it? Couldn't it go back in time and mar that joy that you already had? If I'm experiencing joy, you know, if you're looking for that in relationships, you know, oh, I was friends with this person and we had so many good times and then we drifted apart. Now I don't like them or something like that. Does it undo the whole thing? Did you never have the joy? It's up to you whether you let those memories escape you. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to cough. There's a difference. What if people coughed instead of cried? So I'm so moved. Like that. I wonder, would that be, so, oh, that's more annoying than crying. I don't like when they make people cry on purpose as a way of proving their gratitude. You ever see like shows do that? I'm going to give you, poor people, give you a house. They start crying. They love it. And there's some kind of sadistic pleasure they get in the fawning gratitude. I don't get. But I do get having an emerald embedded in an ugly stone. And I do get ant-infested candy. And I do get that you can listen to an hour radio show and I might say one valuable thing. And then I may kind of belch and swallow too much and smack my lips. You know, that doesn't ruin it. Things don't have to be perfect in my book, you know, and that perfection is foolish, doesn't really reflect reality so much. You know, art that's seemingly perfect, what's that going to be? There's some art movements, part of the minimalist art movement, you will see things like just a board that's been finished with a beautiful glossy finish, just like it's an expensive sports car. And that's it. This beautiful surface that's absolutely perfect. Now, I like that. I'm not making fun of it because I happen to be a big fan of that kind of stuff, right? And I like just, you know, a single neon light like Don Flavin or something like that. Am I getting the right person? You know, that's fine. And I like that kind of simplicity and everything. But I also like stuff that's a bit of a mess. You know, I also like stuff where the, you know, close up, it could be rough and crazy. It could be a bunch of stuff, cans and stuff nailed to a canvas. But the overall composition is what makes it beautiful, or the juxtaposition of things, you know? And so I also like that kind of art. I'm able to see things and put them together like that. That came with age. It wasn't always like that. It came out of being frustrated that all these moments that I wanted to be perfect were not perfect. And I realized, oh boy, I'm bucking against the system here. I need to just understand that I've gotten some beautiful things. Now, I may not still have some of the things that I literally got from my grandfather. You know, I got old photographs. I still have some of those. They don't mean as much to me. I don't know the people in them, really. They're interesting to me, but they're no more interesting than pictures of strangers because they are strangers. The things that stick with me are the memories of the people. Those are the things that have given me, that have provided value to me. Those are the things that I've, the inheritance that I've gotten that means the most to me. Everything that we have in this life is inherited, isn't it? I mean, you know, that's with the genetics and everything, evolution. Everything came from somebody else. Who's the first person? I don't know. I know the first person to die was Papagete, right? Yes, but I mean, like, literally, was there one person? There was one cell or something, right? Yeah, I guess if you, you know, if you look at scientific evidence, then yes, that's true. You know, what started that?
Well, what? The first thing in life was what, just a chemical reaction or something? That's our ancestor.
That's right. We inherited things from that too. Biologically, we inherit, and all those things are passed down and they accumulate and things stick to them, don't they? And then they change over time and we get things and we don't even know where they came from. Now, I have this inclination to want to help people, to want to be a service. I'm not very good at it. I'm not the kindest person. I'm not perfect. I'm no Mr. Rogers, who I adore and would love to be, but I'm not even a percentage of that man and his compassion and his patience. That's not me. But I have been given something, and I want to pass it on because I can't take it with me. And every time I say, oh, I hope I've helped you, I know I have because I've heard from people. I'm not bragging because, again, it isn't mine. You know, if somebody said, I got this antique, pair of glasses from Hardy. Hardy didn't make them. He inherited them. He's passing them on. Everything I give to you, I didn't make up. I'm passing it on.
I know you didn't make up your art because it's extremely derivative.
Granted, yes, even that is. Everything I got, the way I speak, I got from other people, my jokes, all my references, everything, the format, the way I go about it, I've inherited it all, and I can give it to you. Now, another thing I've inherited is the knowledge that that people need company, or that people need to be reassured, or people need to hear other people say, you know, I have the same fears and pain and confusion as you do. That's something that I was given, and now I can give it freely. And I can give it without wanting you to weep and gnash your teeth when you get it in extreme gratitude. I don't even need that because I don't know where to give the gratitude. Who knows who gave it to the person who gave it to me? Who knows how far back it goes? Now, the bad things go back far, too. Butchie has an idol from years ago that's evil. People inherit that, too. Who knows how far back those ideas go, that we should have dominion over others, that we should have authority over others, that there are some people that are better than others. Who knows how far back that idea goes? It goes back as far as my idea that we are all worthy. That everybody who's here is here. That there's no better or worse. That's all so relative that you can't ever quantify it. No way. Oh, you deserve to be here, friends. If you're alive, you're meant to be alive. Will you die? Yes. Does that taint everything? No, there's no such thing. It's all mixed up in a bucket, as the Monty Python would say. It's all mixed up in there. It's a big stew. I was in the mall food court the other day because I had jury duty. Isn't that weird? So they said, what court do I need to go to? Food court. And I want you to go. You're on jury duty. And what you'll do is you'll sit there and you'll judge people. Okay, I can do that. And that goes on in food court all the time. You sit there and judge people. So, but I was waiting in line at the Japanese teriyaki place where they get out a bunch of pieces of meat. It's absolutely disgusting. Do not watch it happen. And I was behind a fella who said, no vegetables. You get the chicken, the rice, and you can get vegetables. He said, no vegetables, I'll get the fried rice. So they're setting them up, and he looks at the end and goes, whoa, whoa, I thought I said no vegetables, but I see there's a pea in my fried rice.
That's like the princess in the pea.
That's right. She didn't want a pea in her fried rice, and so she slept on a bunch of mattresses.
That were bought at a mattress store that was right across the street from a mattress store.
That's right, just like in my neighborhood. I'll get to that. So they said, oh, no, so sorry, sir. And he goes, no, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I go, well, no, the peas are in the fried rice, but we can take care of that. And he said, no, that's all right. I'll just pick it out. And I thought, what a good guy. I liked him after that. I was just saying, yeah, just pick it out. Don't throw all the rice away. They're just going to throw it away. Just you don't like the pea, just pick it out. Pick out the pea. Pick out the little carrot cube if you don't want it in there. Right? But everything else is perfectly fine. Pick it off the top if you don't like it. Pick off the toppings you don't like. Don't discard the whole thing. You know, that's the way I think life is. So pick off your pizza toppings that offend you and get your joy that way. Oh, yes, I've learned these things in food court. I was on a food court jury watching the people picking their peas from their rice.
It's like the princess and the pea. The mattress she bought is the not one for me.
There is a mattress store in my neighborhood. They built a mattress store. They tore down a perfectly good gas station, and they put up a mattress store. And then across the street from that, they tore down the other gas station that was across the street from the gas station, and they put up another mattress store. Let me just clarify this by repeating it. There were two gas stations that were across the street from each other on a corner, like a four-way corner, right? An intersection on opposite corners, not catty corner, but right across the street. And they tore down both gas stations and both two mattress stores. Because our society is changing. That's how it's changing. Isn't it interesting?
Stop saying that!
Why are those two mattress stores? So I inquired about that. I've been asking around, why are there even mattress stores? And people say, well, that's one thing you can't really buy online. People like to check it out. Like to go in there and shop for a mattress. That grossed me out a little bit. So there's people laying on the mattress I'm about to buy. And if you get the demo, there is. I wonder if they sell the demos. But, you know, they're right across the street from each other. I wondered how that worked. How would you be a salesman in there? You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I want you to go across the street. I want you to check out that other mattress. I'm not going to lie to you. They also have, in fact, I'm not going to lie to you. Their mattresses are cheaper. All right? I want you to go over there, and I want you to see the cheaper mattress. I want you to come back, and I want you to look at ours. Because I'm not going to lie to you, theirs is actually better. All right? So, but I want you to look at this one. All right? Then, I want you to go over, look at theirs, the better, cheaper mattress. Okay? And I want you to consider this. I want you to have this one. All right? I'm not going to lie to you. I want you to buy this mattress. Now, you're going to go over there, and they're going to say to you, oh, yeah, ours are cheaper, ours are better, what have you. Okay? And that's fine. And they're good people. I don't begrudge them anything. All right? I'm not going to lie to you, though. I want you to buy this one, this mattress. That's how I feel, too. I feel like, you know, there's better mattresses out there, better, cheaper things, but other entertainment that I know is better, you know? And I know that other people can tell you things in a better, more artistic way than I, and without going and like that and smacking their lips and everything. They've got it more together. I know that. I'm not going to lie to you. But I do want you to know that I love when you listen to this show. It gives me joy. You're giving me something. I've always felt that way. If you think that I give you anything of value, oh my gosh. And you know, I think my grandparents used to do that. They used to patronize businesses that I knew for a fact were not the best. They would go to restaurants and have loyalty, and I knew for a fact that those weren't the best. And I always wondered why. And I think it's because they taught me how to cull. They taught me how to pull things out of, just eat a hen. But my grandfather was going, no, cut the testicles off a rooster. Don't do that, though. Don't do that at all. You're sexually mutilating an animal, and then you're eating it. This is terrible. But it's a useful comparison, isn't it? I love that you let me read you a bedtime story.
Thank you. You owe me money.
Well, doesn't it go both ways?
Not really. I feel like, really, I'm giving you more. I'm giving you memories of being nice to a child. And now I'm going to be plagued with memories of my Uncle Hardy talking about castrating animals and finding his grandfather dead and all that kind of things.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, maybe I'll be able to scrape some of the joy off of it.
Oh, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, the joy is on the outside. I'll just scrape it off. Or scrape off the misery. Like a piece of moldy cheese. That's still good. Just scrape off the moldy part.
That's the way I feel about my show. Just take a knife. It's burnt toast. I smell burnt toast. I'm having a stroke. No, you're not. You're listening to my show. Just go ahead and take it and scrape off the burnt part. There's nothing wrong with the rest of it. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I don't think anyone's ever done that, though. That's the strangest analogy. No one's ever said, oh, whoops. I threw out the baby with the baby. I guess because it's so absurd, that's why people say, well, you don't do that, do you? No, not necessarily. We kept and raised the bathwater as our own. And it's beautiful. We didn't throw the baby out, but we did give it away to the mailman at Christmas. We put it in an envelope. You're not talking about a baby, are you? No, sir, we are not. All right. Well, we just have different words for things. And we do, don't we? Oh, I hope I've given you a little bit of joy. Have I given you any? A little tiny bit? Are there scrapings in there? It's like when they pan for gold, too. I thought they'd find big gold ingots or something. Sometimes there's little flakes, and they had to melt them all together. Sometimes you have to get your joy and put them in a bucket, then heat up something, melt your joy, put it into a mold, then you have a joy bar. It's got nuts and mounds. Which one doesn't? Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you feel like a capon. Oh, I do. Sometimes. What are they fattening me up for, I think? We're going to eat you. All right. I don't want to be eaten. Oh, none of us do. Time is going to eat you eventually. Time. Clunk, clunk, clunk. That brings back a bad memory one time. I went to see the Chambers Brothers at an outdoor festival. And I didn't go to see the Chambers Brothers. I went to see the Ohio Players. But the Chambers Brothers played first, all right? And they played their hit, Time. But as they were playing Time, I don't have a cowbell. Time. And they hit the cowbell like that. And as they did, the crowd began to swell. Did you ever be on an outdoor festival like that? And you go, you know, this crowd's getting a little tight. Time. And it started to close in. I guess people were like, oh, it's almost time for Ohio Players. So they were coming out more and more. Time. And the clinking of the cowbell went on and on and on as they were stretching out their set. And they go, we just, time. Slowing it down. Time. It's like, oh, no. I yelled out, it's Ohio Players time is what it is. I didn't want to yell. You're not supposed to fire, but I almost yelled, fire! That really would have caused the crowd to go. They say, is it free speech if you yell roller coaster of love? Say what in a crowded theater? I don't think it is. It might be. But I was waiting for them because I have been a lifelong Ohio Players fan. Since I was 9, I first heard my first Ohio Players, and I was like in love, that lifelong funk love. And I still, I, I still follow Bootsy Collins on Facebook, and I adore him. I hope he's the cool guy I think he is, because, oh, he had such an impact on my life. Really? Yo, I'm serious. Joy, joy, joy. I'd say High Players and Bootsy, that music changed my life. I don't talk about it very often, but it goes to such a deep place of absolutely pure joy to me. And, you know, watching, if I'm ever sad, watching Bootsy smile is like, you know, and just say something Bootsy-esque is like really lifts my heart. You know, it's just so positive to me. Not so much when I watch him with, I get scared when I watch him with The Godfather, because I think, oh, James, I'm scared of James. He was scared me, James Brown. Love him, but ooh, it frightens me to be. I can't imagine playing music for him. Turns around and you meet James's gaze and you go, oh no. But again, you know, you get joy is in all sorts of great places and surrounded by unexpected things. And those of you who are willing to come to Miracle Nutrition and pan through a bunch of rocks, a bunch of gray rocks, to find a little tiny seam of a gem that can't even be taken out and made into anything very special, you know, I think that you're going to be maybe richer for it, because it will increase your ability to do that all over the place, to find the worth in things that other people think are worthless. You might be able to see something and pick it out and say, yes, I can stand all this stuff that's stuck to it. It doesn't ruin it for me. You know, I collect things other people don't want to collect. I like comic books that are all ripped up. I got no problem with that. It doesn't have to be in mint condition. I like comic books that other people don't like that are all that are stupid, mainly because I can afford them, you know. But I've got all these Forbidden Worlds that I bought for like $3. That's fine with me. I don't care if anybody else likes them. I find something to like in it. And then I feel like that's a superpower almost. Go, man, it's wonderful to be able to find joy, pleasure, beauty, and other things that people discard or other people that things ignore. You go, man, suddenly I can afford things, you know? Because I'm not trying to get the same sneakers as everybody else. Because I got these free white loafers from my grandfather. Because I've inherited the key to happiness from some distant past. Because I got a bag of chocolate that's infested with ants from an aunt who loved me. I can see the world like that. And it just does make things better. It's the key to happiness. And it might be worthless to somebody else. It might be like Don Quixote's magic helmet, his beautiful magic helmet, you know, looks to all the world to be a shaving basin. But he knows better, and it prevents it from being stolen. You know, the Taoist Xuanzi says that, you know, the knurled tree does not invite the axe. What? It's a Taoist thing. What? Well, it just means like, you know, people are all looking around for that perfect tree. It makes you want to steal it. You know, my uncle one time in the 60s, he had a Mustang Shelby. And he had it for months because somebody stole it almost immediately, because it was, and still is, one of the most desirable cars on earth. If you have one, someone's going to rip it off. You got to keep it away. You got to lock it away. And I thought, well, that's nonsensical. You know, why would I have... valuable things that I gotta lock away like that. I don't want that. I want something that I'm able to wear all the time that somebody's not gonna want to steal from me. I want to be a knurled tree. I want to have so many knots that nobody would ever cut it down and steal it because they couldn't use it for anything. I alone know how to use it. I alone can see the beauty in it. Now, I can do that with people too. I can look at a person that you might say, oh, well, that person has no value or something. How can you stand that obnoxious person
Oh, you need to look more carefully. So many people we turn our backs on, we look away, we think they got nothing. And you know, I know I'm talking to hundreds of people who know this secret.
And they are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you again next week.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.